so that ba-da-da-da-ba-da-da. And the outro is just the outro, correct? Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yes. Just the end of the tune. It's not a part of the solo form.
Right.
And are we in D minor? Or
A minor?
A minor. Uh-huh. That's, I don't really need it. Really. One, two, ho, two, three.
Thank you.
Interesting, I was not expecting a tag there.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, alright.
So, yeah, that's a good one. Nice feel on that. Consistent, good job.
Right.
Yeah, both of you guys, nice bass file line on that too.
Thanks.
Yeah. Cool, yeah, it's a nice one. Day in the Life of a Fool, it's also called.
Really? That's cool. I didn't know that.
I relate more to the latter. Cool. What else?
I had a list.
Oh.
Hey, you take the list.
Yeah, it's in my backpack.
Okay.
I can get it, but it's in my backpack. Which is all the way over. So far
have
away.
You played at the Third Life Studio?
Once or twice, yeah.
Yeah, like, I've seen you there
yeah.
a couple times. Yeah.
A few of my own things there through Mark Redmond.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Vibe.
We go to that thing a lot.
Uh-huh.
So it's a nice little place.
Where
yeah,
is it? Where is this?
Somerville.
Yeah.
No, I mean the name of the place?
Third Life Studio. Life
yeah,
or Life?
That's right. Third Life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right in Union Square. And the woman who owns or runs it books shows. And then there's also a guy named Mark Redmond who does a lot of jazz shows and kind of runs his own series, and he uses that room. He was using a place right around the corner called the Green Room, which was a nice little room, but it was way too small. It was crazy.
Smaller than that.
Were you at the Green Room? You ever
no.
Been? Oh, it was crazy.
Real small it was.
Yeah, bonkers. beautiful, nice sound, nice little spot, but he was booking trios and things like that, in big crowds, and it was
yeah.
standing room only.
Wow.
So he needed a little bit of a bigger space. You know, the Third Life doesn't sound as good.
Real,
it's
yeah.
bigger. Take really bad. Yeah.
Now, if I switch the sticks from brushes, I probably don't really go back to brushes. Is that the idea? Except maybe at the very end.
Yeah, or if it's a bass, if the tune that has a bass solo, you can go then.
Okay.
You know.
So we don't.
And the bass players feel the same way sometimes. They don't want you to switch the feel on them.
Oh right, well that's the thing. It's like, and he's always mentioning. It's like, oh, it's time.
And
to
this is and you know a lot of personal taste. And, you know, doing your best to sort of figure out how you react to the different situations and what you feel it needs. You know, it's all personal and it's all who, you know, the drummers you check out, the kind of things they do, the style of music you listen to, jazz-wise, you know, what period and how they handle stuff.
Yeah.
You know, check out the guys that play with Ahmad Jamal, watch the stuff they're doing, you know.
Like
that's why YouTube is great, because a lot of stuff you can't see on the records, they're doing it, but it's much harder to listen for that. But if you go, you hit up YouTube and just watch a bunch of cats play,
then you can
it's
watch
all right
them.
There.
Yeah, yeah. Well, seeing is totally different. Watching how they get the sound they get or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And talk to a lot of drummers. You know, when I first bought drums, one of the things that a guy I really looked up to that surprised me a lot, Luther Gray. I get to play with Luther Gray a lot.
He's really
good.
Yeah.
He's a monster. One of the best in the city and.
Very
when I
creative.
Bought drums, oh, he's amazing. And swings real hard, he's played with everybody, knows a lot. He's just a deep jazz drummer guy, you know. There's no other way to explain him. And when I first bought, I got an old pair of Gretsch drums. Luther was real excited for me. He said, I want to see him, I want to come over. He brought me a ride cymbal, a really nice Bosphorus. And I was talking about practice. He was talking about left hand, because I was doing traditional grip, but totally wrong. I had no idea how it was supposed to work,
yeah.
You know. And he showed me a few of those things. And I said, well, what about playing fast? And he said, well, the only way to practice playing fast is to play fast. You just have to do it with people. You just have to play fast. And I said, what about playing with a metronome? He's like, yeah, you can do that. He said, try this. Just stopwatch and play something. Play the head to Olio, you know. How did it take 47 seconds? Play it again. Da 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 da. Well, that was 52 seconds. You slowed down. Da 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 da. That was 51 seconds. It was a little closer. Da 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 da. That was 42. You sped up. So he's not thinking about time, beat by beat, the way a metronome does. He's thinking about it, you know, the word time.
Yeah. Okay.
And when you listen to old jazz drummers, man, it's flimsy and flexible.
Interesting.
But everybody gets where they're supposed to be going.
So you know, measure by measure might, but at the end of four bars, everyone's switching it right.
That's right. And then horn players lay back way too much. We're really bad with that. And I remember there's a drummer, Alex Reel, who got to play with Dexter, who was one of his, like, he said, there you are playing with one of your idols, and you can't listen to him. Because Dexter's drunk, and he lays back so much that everything slows down. So there you are, playing with your idol, and you have to ignore it. Don't even listen to him. Don't listen to Dexter. Whatever the hell you do, don't listen to Dexter.
Oh, my God.
Because it slows down if you do.
Yeah.
Drummer as job.
Yeah.
Hilarious, you know? I'm sure the hang and the wine over dinner was a great hang, but don't listen to him on stage.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
So those are the things we're all, and you know, we all deal with it. You know, I have nights where I feel like I'm dragging all night. And I'm like, what the hell? I used to know how to play. What's going on? And then other nights where it's happening. And I'm not sure why. It's hard to tell why.
Yeah.
You know, could have I even sleep enough or slept too much? I don't know. You know, who knows what it is.
Bad beef.
So we all have to, you know.
Cheese.
There's very few people that are always on and always 100%. Those are the people that we go to see at Scullers for $38 a ticket. You know what I mean? That's.
Yeah.
Those are the people, you know. There's a liner note from, one of my favorite records is Chick Corea with Joe Henderson live in 1980 with Gary Peacock and Roy Haynes. It's called Live in Montreux. It's one of my favorite albums of all time. And in the liner notes, he talks about being on tour with Joe. He said, Joe turns everything into gems. Emeralds, rubies. He said, whether it's the album or rehearsal or soundcheck. You know, and that's who Joe Henderson was. You know, Joe said in an interview, a guy asked him talking about having bad days. He's like, well, you just disallow that. Right. Easy for him to say. He's Joe Henderson, you know. Right.
Wow.
But that's, you know, some guys have that. The rest of us work for it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah. Awesome. Well.
What next? Do the blues on there?
We have many
people
blues on there.
Blues do anthropology.
Oh, okay. You want to?
What tempo are you comfortable with for that?
Heinz Hiss doing the head, so.
Ah!